This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Renewed, refocused, reinvigorated. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It is the Fan of State. Howdy, y'all. Hello to you, and how do you do? Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and Hill. The four most electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment that you will find anywhere, at any time, on any station, starts now. Good day, America. I said good day! Welcome in. I hope you're well. I hope you had a great, long, extended weekend. I hope you all got to enjoy some time with friends and La Familia over the weekend. Hope you got to take just a few moments to remember, to pay tribute to those who made the ultimate sacrifice for this country so that we can come in here every weekday morning, except the ones that we don't, from 6 until 10 a.m. and just goof off and have a great time. I'm Rob. He's Lonzo. Hi, Lonzo. How was your long weekend?
I did what I normally do for a long weekend. I had a project, and I can barely move. I nearly completed the project, but not all the way. So,
what was our project?
Well, if you remember, earlier in the year, I took a vacation to do three rooms, yep. The floors. I only got one done then. I got two done now. So,
you have two done in total, or you did two?
I've got two done in total now. If you combine it with the one that I did, well, I'd already shown you pictures when I redid the game room. Now I'm redoing the dining room. So, got new floors in the dining room. Going to put tile down probably Wednesday. So
swanky. I like it. The great one doing a little DIY.
Only when necessary, not because, hey, let's change this room. It's like, no, we're having some problems. We need to take care of that.
That's fair. I
will say, as I sat there yesterday, barely able to move, I thought, man, it must be nice to be able to afford to have someone else do this.
I wouldn't know, but I'm sure you're right. As I laid down about 2.5 tons of mulch over the past 2 weeks and still have a mound of it left to go, I think you may be right. We have got a thousand things that we have got to get to. We were off on Friday. All of us were obviously off yesterday, which means we have so much to get caught up on. The quest for Lord Stanley's Cup is still up in the air. The Carolina Hurricanes able to stave off elimination last night in game number 4. They dug themselves the deepest possible hole against the reigning, defending, undisputed Stanley Cup champion, Florida Panthers. They went down 0-3 to start the series. And listen, the series is still over. There is no coming back from being down 0-3 in the series. But the best you can do is take it game by game by game. Let me tell you why I think the Canes have a problem. Aside from the fact that they spent 3 games figuring out that, and this is true, I've done the research, the Panthers are annoying. And I mean that in the most complimentary way. The Panthers are annoying. They annoy you. It's relentless. It's unending. They just keep being ridiculous. And as long as you keep falling for it, they're going to keep hammering you. And if you allow them to continue to get in your head, you're going to end up in a spot that there is no coming back from. And that is exactly what happened to the Carolina Hurricanes in this contest, this series against the Florida Panthers. Well, because of the fact that they dug themselves a hole and are trying to get out of it, last night's game was simply, can we survive? Last night's game was simply, can we get through this? Last night's game was very simply, is there a way for us to get ourselves out of this hole? And the answer is, of course, absolutely not. There's a reason they're the reigning, defending, undisputed. However, there is a bigger problem in play here for this team. The bigger problem in play is not just the fact that the Panthers are better, and it was always gonna take something special for this team to figure out a way by. The problem is even worse. The problem is that this team is so relaxed that despite their bully ball ways, their annoying ass ways, they're still likable. You know how I know they're still likable? There is, for as long as I've been doing this show, for as many absolute twerps have come through the NHL as have come through the NHL, there is one hockey player that has drawn the ire of this program over the years. And that hockey player is, of course, Brad Marchand, former captain of the Boston Bruins. He got sent down to Florida in a midseason trade this year. And the reason the Panthers were willing to spend the capital that it was required to go get Brad was because they built a roster to play the type of hockey that Brad plays, and only Brad plays at the level that Brad plays it. Well, during game three, second intermission, if you watch NHL hockey, you will know that they have the second most access to players in the game outside of only Major League Baseball, which just in the last year or two began doing live interviews with players on the field during the game. Now, NHL doesn't obviously mic up players and have them do in-game interviews, but it doesn't matter what outlet you watch or listen to. I watched and listened to a lot of hockey this weekend over the radio. I ended up on Friday, had a meeting on Friday morning that I had to attend, hence me being out on Friday, taking a personal day, had a sit-down meeting I had to attend. And then the wife got home at about 3 in the afternoon, and she's like, you know what? We're both off on Monday. Let's go to the beach for the weekend. And I said, okay. So that meant I was obviously away from a TV from a good portion of the weekend, did a lot of sports listening on the radio, listened to the Braves against the Padres, listened to the Canes and the Panthers, listened to all the NBA games of the weekend, all on the radio. And whether you listen to the radio or watch it on TV, when NHL players come off the ice for intermissions and postgame, every outlet gets at least a player. Right? Every outlet gets a player. And that includes TNT, who during one of the intermissions got an interview with Brad. And Brad, in one interview, made Rob Brown have an internal debate, because I have despised Brad for as long as this show's been running. And then, in an interview, an intermission interview that I think both the great one and I are going to appreciate, Brad let the broadcasters in on a little secret about how the boys are staying loose to drive Carolina into a 3-0 hole, and it sounded, Lonzo, like this. Brad and the boys.
Well played, Brad.
Well played. Brad and the boys, during an off day, decided to head on over to the DQ and pick up a blizzard. Let's not get those two confused. We stopped yesterday. We were on the road back, and the wife, we pulled over to get some gas, and there was a vat establishment across the street. I won't say the name specifically, not that you don't know exactly who I'm talking about, but she goes, hey, can we stop over and get a Blizzard? And I said, we absolutely can. Anything for you, love of my life, apple of my eye. If you want a Blizzard, I will move the sun, moon, and stars to make it happen. We went out of our way to head into that particular establishment, pulled up to the window.
Go ahead with your arm, please.
Yes, may I have a Blizzard, please, an M&M, excuse me, flurry. I get my fast food.
I was waiting for you to fix it. Yeah.
May I get an M&M flurry, please?
Sorry, sir. Ice cream machine is down.
No! I'm just convinced they people lie. At that restaurant just don't want to make McFlurries.
Yeah, they lie. What time of the night was it?
It was at like 3 in the afternoon.
Okay, because they have to shut that down, have to clean it and things like that. So I think they decide, you know what? I want out of here at a certain amount of time. Yeah, we'll shut it down.
Listen, as a former long-term bartender and wait staff attendant at a couple of different restaurants, I am very well aware of the fact that there comes a point in the evening where you go, listen, we're not going to make any more of this thing. If anybody asks, 86 vat. Because we're not going to make it because it either takes too long to make and it's going to be still going out when we're closing, or the cleanup from making it is intense. It's going to keep us here an extra 15, 30 minutes. So if anybody asks after 10:30 for the 11 o'clock close, if they can have that, nope, sorry, 86, that can't have it, right? This was at 3 in the afternoon. It's the middle of a Monday. Don't tell me the ice cream machine is down. Stop it, all right? Anyway, point is, I heard this from Brad that the boys got hooked on the DQ Blizzard during an intermission or during an off day, and then got so hooked on the DQ Blizzard that at least one of them, Brad, was knocking back a Blizzard during the second intermission of an Eastern Conference Finals game.
Although, if you think about it, though, you would think they would want something warm. I mean, they're out there on the ice, cold, so you're just gonna make yourself even more cold on inside by eating ice cream?
Hockey dudes are a different breed of dude.
I suppose.
Hockey dudes are a different breed of dude. There is something interesting, something unique about the hockey boys. They don't just like it cold. They don't want it anything but cold. And in the NBA, you get sent home from the playoffs. It's, yo, enjoy Cancun. I'm pretty sure the hockey fellas take a vacation to Edmonton. They head up to Ottawa because it's still cold there. I have given over the years immense amounts of grief to Brad for being that guy, the cheap shot artist, the guy who just consistently and continually doles out hits that very few other people A, commit, and B, get away with. I've given him a ton of crap. But if Brad was sitting in the locker room during an intermission of game 3 with an opportunity in just 3 games to push the Carolina Hurricanes, a team I am obviously openly and actively rooting for, to the brink of elimination. And in that second intermission, with this game far from won, 20 minutes, the Dallas Stars scored 5 goals in 20 minutes in game 2. If he sat in that locker room with 20 minutes of hockey to play and a chance to push the Canes to the brink of elimination, and the thought he had was, chocolate chip cookie dough Blizzard sounds good right now. I got to tell you, I don't think I've ever, the only athlete I've ever resonated more with than Brad in that moment was my guy Siwoo Kim when he said, 3 Red Bulls on the front, 9 Tylenol PM on the back to regulate it. That's the only athlete I've ever understood more in my life than Brad going, oh, we got 20 more minutes of hockey. We just got to knock the boys down a little bit. Take that 3-0 lead. Yeah. How about a chocolate chip cookie dough Blizzard? And that means that Brad and the gang had one of two things here. Either A, they went ahead and prepared the Blizzards. They went ahead and picked them up on the way to the arena. They went ahead and snagged them on the way out of the hotel, brought them there, set them in the freezer, and said, all right, boys, victory Blizzards after the dub tonight. Or that means that they went to the intermission. They went to one of the staffers at some point in the second period and said, "Hey, bud, listen, we're gonna need you to head down to the DQ and pick the boys up a couple of blizzards, eh? Bring us back a couple of those cold frosty treats, eh? Why don't you bring us back some of those delectable, delicious blizzards from the DQ down the street, eh?" First off, DQ's never had a better advertisement campaign in their entire life, and they've had some good ones, but having Brad either get them in advance or send a staffer to go pick up a mid-game, and that also means if they got them in advance for the dub, that means by the end of the second period, they looked and they went, "Yeah, we got this in the bag. How about some ice cream, boys?"
I don't know if cookie dough would be my choice, but still, I guess.
I mean, listen, I'm gonna go on the Blizzard ice cream power rankings. I'm just a give me chocolate all the way through guy, right? I'm good with the cookie dough, but like put it in the like give me the chocolate all the way through. But we have to agree. Chocolate chip cookie dough ranks higher than just plain ass vanilla, right?
Well, you're not going to get that if you're going to Dairy Queen. I mean, I'm talking Butterfinger or Oreo or M&M's or Reese's. I mean, there's just so many other choices.
So it's been a minute since I have had a DQ Blizzard. You can add the toppings on, right? Like, no. I could get a chocolate chip cookie dough, but then be like, drop a couple of bags of M&M's on that bad boy for me too, right?
I don't think so.
I have not, in fairness, and this may change. The reason why I say Brad might be the best endorsement DQ's ever had is I can't stand Brad. And yet, I found this clip this morning. Like, this morning I found this clip, and at 5:15 a.m.-ish, your boy was like, "Is the DQ open for breakfast? I could probably get on down and pick up a blizzard before the show starts, right? Maybe Zoe and I pop the show off with a little in-game blizzard. Maybe that's the play here. If Brad and the Panthers can knock down a second intermission blizzard, can knock down the celebratory blizzy while the game is still active, then I think it only makes sense that Zoe and I could knock down a couple of celebratory blizzards in game."
All right, lots of good flavors. No vanilla, though. I don't know where that came from. What are you talking about?
Well, I assume you have much like the...
No, you got s'mores, you got cotton candy, you got confetti, you got dipped strawberry, you got
mixing bowl,
you got Superman cake batter, which has got to be amazing.
No, I understand, but like chocolate with the blizzard, don't you have like the base ice cream and then you add stuff to it?
No, the blizzard is made specifically with your choice, like an Oreo or like turtle pecan.
So theoretically, somebody could get a blizzard with just vanilla ice cream and then add stuff into
it,
right?
It wouldn't be a blizzard, though, because the way they're mixed, it makes the ice cream thicker, and that's just a vanilla cup.
But if you want
just vanilla, it would be cheaper to buy just a vanilla
cup.
Right.
But the my understanding here, and for the record, again, haven't had a Blizzy, and I can't tell you how long. But like the understanding is, much like the McFlurry, it is the construction of the Blizzard that makes it the Blizzard, not the ingredients. It's the construction. Is in we're going to put the ice cream in the cup. We're going to throw the toppings.
No, they don't.
Then
do
we're
going
to put that little machine on it.
Yeah, it's about the toppings. It's not about the ice cream.
No, I'm not saying it's about the ice cream.
It's not toppings, because toppings go on top. It's mixed in.
Right.
So.
But the blizzarding is the process of putting the ice cream in the cup, putting the stuff on it, and then using that machine that has a little spinny thingy to whip it all up into that blizzard consistency. That's what makes it the blizzy. Not just like a couple ice cream with stuff on top. That's just a scoop of ice cream. But once you put it in a little zzz machine that spins it around and it mixes those toppings into the ice cream, now it's hit Blizzy status. So you could go vanilla ice cream and then throw me all that stuff and then Blizzy it up, and now it's a blizzard, even if it is the most boring blizzard ever, because vanilla ice cream is dumb and pointless unless it's on apple pie.
Okay, I don't understand the argument, but I would like to go to Dairy Queen.
Same. All right. We got a lot we got to get to. We got to talk some Atlanta Braves ball. Dropped three out of the four to the Padres. Now two games below 500, but they are on the road at Philly. Maybe the most important series of the season so far. We'll talk about that. College football playoffs are a-changing for the 2025 year, and Dan Patrick says changing even more for 2026. You know who else weighed in on that? Greg Sankey, commissioner of the SEC, down in Destin for the spring meetings. We'll talk about the college football landscape coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So college football is doing away with the 1 year, the old format of seeding the playoffs, you know, that ancient format that we have gone through where the four highest rated conference champions would receive the top four seeds and therefore the four byes. This year, college football will be going to a straight seeding of teams 1 through 12. Now, the conference champs are still protected, but if you win your conference and you are ranked, let's say, 19th in the polls despite being a conference champion, you may be the 12th team in the 1 through 12 seeding. You will still be in, but at this point forward, strength of schedule's importance has just been boosted up because you not only need to be a conference champ if you can, but in the one-off that you go 12-0 in the regular season, but you lose your conference championship game, you could still theoretically, depending on how the cards fall, how everything shakes up, you could still theoretically be one of the top four teams. You go 12-0, you got a great strength of schedule, you run your conference table, but then you lose on a walk-off field goal to another highly regarded conference champion that's, let's say, 10-2 and is way on down the top 25 rankings when it's all said and done. You could still theoretically end up being a top four team, get one of those top four seeds, and get one of the byes in the college football playoffs. I don't care. I guess. I mean, at the end of the day, the goal has always been, and we had this discussion on the show Thursday before we were off for a long weekend. We had Chris, I believe, call the show and bring up the argument of the 12 best teams versus the 12 most deserving teams. I have made the argument that it is a semantics argument, obviously, because some of us feel like the best 12 teams are the most deserving teams. And some of us feel that most deserving can mean a lot of things. A team could be 10-2, but have played six playoff teams and have an argument that despite being 10-2 or 9-3 are still a better team than a team that went 11-1 or 12-0, but didn't play nobody, Paul. So, I guess this is kind of one of those things that I would chalk it up to. And I don't necessarily think that this is a way that I love running things, but I do, despite the fact that I don't love running things this way. Also recognize that sometimes you just gotta try it. Sometimes you just got to do it. I don't know that we are going to be able to say that this is a success or failure. I don't know that we are going to be able to say that this is a better or a worse scenario, format, structure for the college football playoffs until we actually see it shape up, until we actually see it play out, until we actually see it in action. And so I'm kind of at a point where I'm going to say I reserve judgment on this conversation. I reserve judgment on how this is going to shape up. I reserve judgment on what this is going to do. I've seen a million people. I'm not going to sit here and do it because if you want to do it, take 5 minutes and go, you can go look up. A million people did over the weekend what last year's playoffs would have looked like if we had straight 1-12 seeding. So I won't get into it because, again, 1,000 other people did it this weekend. This is my first day back on the air since this announcement came down. I am just going to say, maybe this is lazy. Maybe this is me not doing my job the way I need to, but I don't really have a take on this other than let's see what this year shapes up. Let's see what it looks like. We know what the bracket was last year. We know the teams that got the bye. We know the teams that did not. We know the teams that won their championship or participated in it and snuck in the very end. We know the teams that won a championship and therefore got the bye. Do you believe anybody who did not get a bye should have gotten a bye or vice versa? That's 100% up to you, subjectively speaking. We will find out if this straight seeding formula works at the end of this year when we see what the final rankings are.
This is fan service is all it is. It's not really changing that much. It's just rearranging a little bit. Maybe it changes a couple matchups. In the end, the best is going to win out. It's just how it works.
I would push back on only one aspect of that answer, which is this is fan service. Nothing college football does is fan service. They do nothing for fan service. Everything that they do is dedicated solely and exclusively to moving up the bottom line. Nothing. If there was something that they went, this is great for the fans, and it's only going to cost us $100 million, $5 million, $1 million, but it's going to cost us that, they're not going to do it. All that's going to matter.
If the seeding was different last year, the end result would have been the same. And I think it's going to be that way every year. Whoever the best team is, they're going to win their games. They're going to win the championship. And there's always going to be someone to complain that someone didn't make it in. It's whether it's 4 teams, 12 teams, 16 teams, 37 teams. I know it's odd, but it doesn't matter.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying I don't know that we can know until it happens, right? Like Ohio State wins your 2024 national championship game. Ohio State, as the 8th seed in the run, did play in the opening round against Tennessee. They got Oregon, obviously, in game 2 in the quarterfinal. And decimated the Oregon Ducks. An Oregon Ducks team that was a heavy favorite to be the champ coming into this season. Now, the argument has been, and again, it is an argument that is unfalsifiable. We cannot prove it to be true or false, correct, or incorrect. But the Oregon apologist after last year's college football playoff said, effectively, hey, look, timing and chemistry and precision was what made this team go. Everything that we succeeded with in the regular season, we succeeded with based on having a timing-based, rhythm-based offense. And the fact that we had to wait so bleeping long from the Big Ten championship game until we played our game against Ohio State. Your championship game was whatever date. And for the record,
I know you're not saying it. I know you're saying they said that.
Correct. I think that the conversation from the Oregon apologists was that conference championship weekend was what was the date on conference? December 12th or whatever it was. Their conference championship game was played about a month, maybe a little bit less than a month, until they played their playoff game. And so December 7th.
So
they went
the
from,
normal amount that it usually takes to play a good bowl game. Wah.
Nobody gives a damn about normal bowl games. This isn't a normal bowl game.
You're missing the point.
No.
If they were playing a normal bowl game, they'd have to wait that long.
Right, but nobody cares about that. Quick, who won the Independence Bowl? Who won the Sugar Bowl?
I think you're missing.
What's the Sugar Bowl?
I think you're missing.
No,
point.
I'm not. What I'm saying is
they would have
you
had to wait. They would have had to wait the same amount of time.
Right, but you are comparing apples to orange bowls.
No.
You are comparing a game that in the history of a school is irrelevant to a playoff game where a national championship.
All because it means more. They should have to play. They should get to play sooner.
No. The argument that I was going to make was Oregon, a team that was based on timing and chemistry and rhythm. That's just a fact. That's what a West Coast passing offense is. Did not have a game before Ohio State, whereas Ohio State played the weekend before that and got an opportunity to kind of get back up to game speed. I'm not saying I agree with the take. I'm saying that is what the Oregon Duck apologists say. And so with this new concept, with the straight seating, I don't know that it would change anything because Oregon still would have got the bye as the Big Ten champs. Ohio State still would have been. Now, Ohio State may have been a higher seed. Maybe the Ducks don't get Ohio State in round two because they're the one seed. They get the 12 seed. They would have played Clemson in that shot. If I'd have given them the chance, Oregon, to play Clemson or Ohio State in round two, who the hell you think they would have picked in that spot, right? Respect to Clemson. You'd have rather played Los Tigres in that spot. So the reality is, cool. We'll see if this is a better concept when the we'll see if this is a better concept when it happens. All right, Greg Sankey had some thoughts on this. The SEC meeting's taking place down in Destin, Florida, my old stomping grounds. And Greg Sankey is, and I say this respectfully to a commission who's doing a great job, full of crap. I'll tell you why when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
People in positions of power and authority, especially those who profit off of that power and authority, and this is true of every institution, lie. They lie. They lie all the time. And they lie because once someone is given power and authority, most of them are hesitant to give it back. This is why, and I'm going to go old guy on you here for a second. This is why the decision of one George Washington to cede the presidency after two terms began a long and very important tradition of presidents not staying around for thirds and fourth and fifth. And obviously, we have had some that have gone in different directions. But the fear after the American Revolution, when George Washington was elected president, got a second term, when he walked away, was there were those in Congress who wanted to make presidency a lifetime office, like a Supreme Court justice. Once you're in till you die. Then we pick the next guy. But that sounded remarkably like having a king, which was a thing that we had just kind of fought a whole ass war over. That is why that is such a standout and go-to example, because most people, when they are given a position of power and authority, do not relinquish that power and authority, and certainly do not do that when they are able to profit off of that power and authority. Now, in the case of the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, Greg Sankey, I want to be very clear. I don't fault him. I get it. I get it. If I was the commissioner of the most powerful and important conference in college athletics, by the way, 13 Southeastern Conference teams made it into the college baseball national championship bracket. We'll talk some college ball later on in the show and throughout the week as regional set for this weekend, including the Clemson Tigers, who will be hosting a regional, but will need a couple of results to go their way in other regionals if they are to host a super regional. We'll talk about that later. Point here is, it's the most powerful and important conference in college sports right now. So Greg Sankey, the commissioner of said conference, is down in Destin, Florida. My old stomping ground. I used to broadcast from a studio in Destin Commons, and SEC spring meetings were a huge week for me back in the day. They still are now, obviously, but probably even more so. Back then, I'd roll on down the road to the Hilton where they were having this event, and I'd go in and I'd talk to people. I'm obviously not there now, but the decisions and the conversations that are taking place at the SEC spring meeting in Destin, Florida are as impactful, scratch that, are more impactful than ever before. So Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, was doing a media availability period over the weekend. And just a few hours after it was announced that college football would be moving in 2025, that is, if you check your calendar, this year. Just hours after it was announced that college football would be moving to a straight seeding for its playoffs, meaning the four highest ranked conference champions are still in, but they are no longer guaranteed the top four spots. Now it is going to be the 12 highest ranked teams seeded 1-12 with space on the tail end of that reserved for any conference champions who are not inside the top 12 at the end of the season. Greg Sankey was asked, what is the SEC's stance on the college football playoff format moving forward? What do you think the conference is going to be in favor of? And they even went so far as to ask Greg if he was in favor of the 442213 model. That is the model which gives four automatic qualifiers to the SEC, four to the Big Ten, two to the ACC, two to the Big 12, one to the G5, and has three at-large spaces. And Greg said that the Southeastern Conference has not thrown its weight behind any one particular format as of yet. Says that they have had the conversation. They will have more conversations this week. He said, quote, we'll see how that conversation manifests itself this week, and we'll look a little bit more deeply at different ideas, which will put me at some point in a better position to answer those questions, end quote. Now, there is not a fiber of my being. There is not a cell in my body that believes for a second that Greg Sankey and the SEC don't automatically prefer the playoff format that guarantees them four automatic qualifiers unless they think they can get more. That's it. Unless they think they can get more. They're obviously going to be in favor of an AQ field that guarantees that a quarter, if not more, of the playoff field is composed of the SEC, especially considering the amount in tens of millions of dollars that go into the coffers for every team that you have in the first place, the more millions that you get for every team that moves on to round two, on to round three, plays in the national championship, and then wins the national championship. Of course, the SEC is going to be in favor of a format that gives them more. Because, again, and I don't fault Greg for this, who in the world would vote for a system that gives you less? I mean, there are people who do it and don't realize they're doing it. That's a different discussion for a different day. But, yeah, they're going to go with the one that... So let me get this right. We go to a 16-team playoff, and you want to hand me a system where my guys are guaranteed, no matter what the results on the field are, guaranteed a quarter of the spots are guaranteed to me. Doesn't matter if the third best team in our conference is 6-6, they are guaranteed a spot? Yeah, of course he's going to say yes to that. Of course the conference is going to say yes to that. The only reason that Greg Sankey and the SEC would remain non-committal on this conversation is if there is an inkling somewhere in that room, a room that later on today will be filled with athletic directors and head coaches and school presidents and commissioners and commissioner staffs and yada, 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 yada. If there are people in that room who genuinely, honestly feel like there is a pitch to be made that says, yeah, 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 the 4-4-2-2-1-3 model's great, but hear us out. What if we go to a 5-5-2-2-1-1 model? What if you upped it from 4 SEC and Big Ten teams to 5? Because, hey, we're the SEC. It just means more. You've seen our commercials. It just means more. There's a lady walking on a beach in our commercial, and she says it just means more. So if it just means more, shouldn't we get more spots? Shouldn't we get more spots? If there is a push, and again, I don't fault Greg Sankey because I do the same thing. But if I felt like the next time the CFB gets together and they're having the conversation about, all right, we know we're going to 16. And I got a clip from Dan Patrick I'm going to play you later in the show where, and it was from Friday's Dan Patrick show, where Dano said, hey, my source is telling me you can go ahead and expect a straight seating from now on. And he nailed that. And Dano, who I think Dan Patrick has done enough in his career that I shan't accuse Dan Patrick of being a hot take artist. I shan't accuse Dan Patrick of being a bleep stirrer. I shan't accuse him because I don't think he has to anymore. I think he's been in the game long enough. Patrick says that his source has already told him that a 16-team playoff is happening in 2026. So enjoy your last year of the 12-team. Enjoy last four teams that are going to get a bye in the playoff format. Starting next year, there will be no byes. You will have 16 teams that are in. All 16 teams will likely play a first-round game. There will be no more byes for conference champions. So, assuming that that is the case, and I am willing to assume that for now, because I'm willing to take the risk that it makes one out of you and me, as the old expression goes. If Dan Patrick's, quote, source is correct, which, based on what he gave us on Friday during his show, has been so far. If Dan Patrick's source is correct, and we do go to a 16-team playoff next year, I would not be shocked if we find out, and perhaps it is at the end of the SEC spring meetings here in about 4 days. Perhaps it is after the SEC media days that are set to take place a couple of months from now in Atlanta, Georgia. We are working on being there. We are working on getting over to the ATL to cover SEC media days live. We will be up in Charlotte, North Carolina for ACC media days, and we are now working, kicking the tires to get us over to SEC media days as well. The likelihood, I won't say likelihood, the possibility that we hear from the SEC, and I do think it would be in cahoots with Tony Petitti in the Big Ten as well. Because again, yeah, I would do it too. Is that those two conferences could theoretically, I'm making a guess here, but I feel like an educated one, would make a push to turn the 2-2-1-3 model, the 4-4-2-2-1-3 model into a 5-5-2-2-1-1 model. So 5 SEC, 5 Big Ten, 2 ACC, 2 Big 12, 1 Group of 5, and 1 at-large. The 2 of the 3 at-larges would go to the 2 big conferences. Again, do I think that would pass? No. Because I do think, as with everything, there is a saturation point. There is a point where, and I don't know where that point is because I don't think we've ever hit it, but there is a saturation point somewhere where I think college football fans who are not members of the SEC, who are not members of the Big Ten, would look and go, this is pointless. Over half of the field is made from two conferences. Everybody else, here's your table scraps. Everybody else. ACC, you get two and compete for a third. Big 12, you get two, compete for a third. Group of five, you get one, compete for a second. Everybody else in football, period, gets to compete for one. Table scraps compared to the big dogs. Again, the big dogs are going to and should push for as much as they can get. That's how you get to be the big dog. You eat more, right? So I don't have an issue with Greg Sankey doing what he is doing because at the end of the day, it's his job. He is the commissioner of the SEC. The job of the commissioner of the SEC is to end up with the best and most profitable possible outcome for the SEC. So and I wouldn't be shocked to see him pushing for even more, pushing for a fifth automatic qualifier from his conference. I would like to think, and we talked about this in the last segment, I do not think that college football, that I'm going to use the dreaded they. Anytime somebody says, they don't want you to know, they, who's that? You got to tell me who they is or I got no reason to listen to you. They don't. I will use the dreaded they here. College football, the college football playoff committee, the conference commissioners, the they are never going to do anything that is for the betterment of the fan. If it makes the fans' life better and it makes them more money, then they'll do it. And they will absolutely dress that thing up as, well, we're doing it for you, the fans. No, they're not. They're doing it because they can get more of you, the fans, money. But I do think there is a saturation point where everybody who's not SEC fans and not Big Ten fans will look at the structure and go, that's too much. What's the point? What's the point? 28 teams get to compete for north of half of the playoff field, and the other 120 teams combined are competing for six? How's that work? How's that make sense? What's the reason for me to stay tuned in and invested to this? Other than I just like football, there's really not one. That being said, I don't believe for a second Greg Sankey when he says, oh, the SEC isn't committed to a format yet. We got to have the discussion. We're not committed to a format. I think they are. The 4-4-2-2-1-1-1, whatever it is. That works great for them. I think it's more along the lines of, we don't want to commit to anything because if we commit to something now, we can't ask for more later. And we want to make sure it's on the table that we can ask for more later. All right, we'll check back in on this discussion later on in the show. Next hour of the show, we have got your water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know. We'll get back into the college football discussion, look at the NHL, NBA, Stanley Cup playoffs, and more. All of that after Lonzo hands you, if this sports flash was a 7-game series, Lonzo'd sweep it right now.
Maybe the gentleman sweep because, you know, I'm nice.
He's a gracious winner.
The Carolina Hurricanes staved off elimination with a 3-0 win over the Florida Panthers last night. The defense was the highlight, allowing just 20 shots, all of them stopped by Frederick Anderson. Carolina is in the hole 3-1 and will try to continue the series at home tomorrow night. The Oklahoma City Thunder are one win away from an NBA Finals appearance after a 128-126 win over Minnesota last night. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 40 and Jalen Williams had 34. And now the Thunder are up 3-1 with Game 5 tomorrow night in OKC. The Atlanta Braves will open a three-game divisional set against Philadelphia on the road this evening. Atlanta dropped 3 of 4 against the Padres to move them to 2 games back of 500. Spencer Strider is expected to get the nod today against Ranger Suarez. Hour number 2 of the Rob Brown Show is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.